بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام الأتمان الأكملان على خير خلق الله أجمعين، وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما، وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه، واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه، وبعد. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I hope everyone can hear me. If anyone wants to come closer, they can come closer. So last week we started with an introduction on the theme of our class, which is going to be on the Sahabiyat, the lives of the female companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we spoke about the virtues of the Sahaba in general, and why they were special, and why it's important for us as Muslims to study their lives. And so since, you know, this class is exclusively for the sisters, we decided that we would go through the female companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically. Because one of the things that we mentioned last week was that the reason why it's important for us to study the lives of these companions is to take them as role models. And, you know, certain qualities that women have, other women can, you know, follow those qualities. Because sometimes we may think, okay, men are different than us, so, you know, how can I be like men? But if we study the lives of the female companions now, you know, one cannot make that excuse, right? These are women just like you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose them from among all of the people to be to have that privilege of being companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now, we also mentioned last week that we're going to start with the ummahatul mu'mineen, the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala referred to as the mothers of the believers. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, النَّبِيُّ أَوْلَى بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَأَزْوَاجُهُ أُمَّهَاتُهُمْ. His wives are their mothers. His wives are their mothers. Meaning, they're not our mothers in, you know, the literal sense, but they're our mothers in the sense of the respect that they deserve from us. So how you treat your mothers and the honor and the respect that you have for your mothers is the kind of respect we're supposed to have for these women. And also another aspect of that is that that no one after the death of the Prophet ﷺ was allowed to marry these women. So in that sense, they are also our mothers. But in the sense of being a mahram, then no. Right? So none of these women were allowed to uncover themselves in front of the other men, even though they are considered their mothers. So we said we're going to start with the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it goes without saying that we should start with the best of them and the first of them and the most beloved of them to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And that is none other than Khadija bint Khuwaylid radiallahu anha. Radiallahu anha. And so her name, her full name, is Khadija bint Khuwaylid ibn Asad ibn Abdul Uzza ibn Qusay. Khadija bint Khuwaylid, the daughter of Khuwaylid, ibn Asad, the son of Asad, ibn Abdul Uzza ibn Qusay. So this Qusay would be her which grandfather? No, I mean, so he would be her great-great-grandfather, right? Great-great-grandfather. Okay, why is this person important? Because her lineage here meets with the lineage of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is, who knows his lineage? Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Abdul Muttalib ibn Hashim ibn Abd Manaf ibn Qusay. Ibn Qusay. And so for the Prophet ﷺ, Qusay is his great-great-great-grandfather. So this makes Khadija radiallahu anha to be the closest to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from among all of his wives. Right? This makes her to be the closest to him in terms of blood relations among all of his wives. And so she comes from a family of nobility, from Quraysh, a family of authority, and also a wealthy family. She was born in Mecca, and she was brought up in a famous and respected household. And she got married twice before the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And even these two men who she married were noble men of the Arabs. One, his name was Abu Hala, with whom she had two children. And the other was Atiq ibn A'id, with whom she had a daughter. Now, Khadija radiallahu anha was a well-known and respected woman in Mecca. She had a nickname she was known by as At-Tahira, the one who is pure. And she was a businesswoman, and she was quite prosperous and wealthy. But although she was wealthy, she was also very generous. And so she had very noble, akhlaq, and possessed these noble qualities of being generous, being kind, the women who were close to her, they would come and visit her in her house, specifically to benefit from her generosity. And for her business, what she would do is she would hire men to travel for her. Because the people of Mecca, they relied on trade. You know, the economy of Mecca, it relied on business. It was a business hub. And these were businessmen. They used to trade. And to trade, they would travel. They would take caravans. As Allah mentions in Surah Quraysh, لِإِيلَافِ قُرَيْشِ إِيلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. Quraysh would, you know, travel in the summer and in the winter. The two journeys of the summer and the winter. In the summer, they would head south to Yemen, or rather they would head north to Syria, and in the winter they would head south to Yemen. And since she was alone, she wouldn't travel for her business, but she would hire men to do that for her. But she would run into a lot of trouble with the men that she would hire, as many of them were not trustworthy. You know, we're talking about the days of Jahiliyyah. We're talking about when the world was in darkness, and especially the Arabs. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, sent them, the Prophet, to bring them out of that darkness and into the light of Islam. And here we're talking about darkness and backwardness on all different kinds of levels. You know, in terms of their honesty, in terms of their, you know, treatment of others, in terms of, you know, shirk, and so on and so forth. So many of these men were not trustworthy. But now she starts hearing about a man from Quraysh who had a reputation of being trustworthy and honest. And so the people of Mecca, they would entrust him with their valuables. You know, they would entrust him with their valuables. And he started to gain this reputation of being extremely trustworthy. And that would earn him the title of As-Sadiq Al-Amin, the one who is honest and trustworthy. So when Khadija radiallahu an heard about him, and here, who are we talking about? Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When she heard about him and his honesty, she sent for him. She offered him money to go to Syria and do her business for him. And she promised to give him a higher rate than the others. And she also sent with him her servant, whose name was Maysara. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam agreed and went with her servant to Syria for trade. Here we're talking about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being in his early 20s. Right? So he is in his early 20s. Prior to this, what was the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doing in Mecca? What was his profession? He was a shepherd. So he would just be grazing sheep. He'd leave Mecca, and in the outskirts of Mecca, he would be grazing sheep. So this was a great opportunity for him. And he agreed, and he left for Syria with the servant of Khadija radiallahu anha. Now when they returned from the journey, Maysara reported to his master, Khadija radiallahu anha, and told her that he has never seen a man like him. His honesty and his trustworthiness was like no other man. On top of that, when Khadija radiallahu anha saw what he brought, the earnings, she noticed that there was way more profit and barakah and blessings in this money than ever before. Now, Khadija radiallahu anha, as we mentioned, she had been married, but at this time she was divorced. And she's been divorced for some time. But being who she was always sought after by the men of Mecca. You know, she had all of these qualities that every man would want. Right, in terms of her, status, you know, she belongs to a noble family of Quraysh, and on top of that, she's known for her intelligence and wealth. She's a wealthy, successful businesswoman. So many of the prominent men of Quraysh had tried to marry her, but she would always turn them down. So here Khadija radiallahu anha saw what she was always looking for. A man with noble and high characters. So she disclosed to one of her friends by the name of Nafisa that she would like to marry the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So this friend of hers immediately went to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and broke the news to him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had no objection and he agreed. So he asked his uncle, Hamza ibn Abd al-Muttalib, to go to Khadija's uncle and talk about the issue. And subsequently, they were married. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave her 20 camels as the mahr, as a dowry. And at the time, Khadija radiallahu anha was 40 years old. While the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 25. And this is the first time ever that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was getting married. So she is his first wife. In fact, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not marry any other woman while she was alive. He didn't get married to any other woman until she had passed away. On top of that, Khadija radiallahu anha bore all of his children, except for one. Who is that one? Which one of his children came from another woman? It was Ibrahim, and that was much later in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, towards the end of his life, when he was in Medina, and it was Maria al-Qibtiyya who bore her Ibrahim, and he passed away. So besides that, all of the other children of the Prophet ﷺ came from Khadija radiallahu anha. And they were 6. 2 sons and 4 daughters. Al-Qasim, and he is the eldest, or the first. And Abdullah. And then the daughters were Zainab, Ruqayya, Kulthum, and Fatima. All of his sons pass away in their childhood, while all of the daughters remained alive. However, all of his daughters passed away while the Prophet ﷺ was still alive, except for one. Who is she? Fatima radiallahu anha, and even she only survived another 6 months after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She passed away 6 months after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam actually foretold this, right? This is one of the miracles of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that she would be the first one to join him after his death, meaning from his family. And that is exactly what ended up happening. And all of his daughters, they witnessed Islam, they embraced Islam, and they made hijrah to Medina. They migrated to Medina. But it was only Fatima radiallahu anha that the Prophet's lineage continued through her. And so she had Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. And from there, you know, if you were to find anyone today who claims to that his lineage goes to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it always goes through Ali radiallahu anhu, and the wife of Ali was Fatima radiallahu anha. So anyways, coming back to Khadija radiallahu anha, they got married at this time while she's 40 and he is 25. But until now, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not a prophet and he is not a messenger. He is just like everyone else. And this would continue for another 15 years. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reaches the age of 40. And he starts to go into seclusion in the cave of Hira in the outskirts of Mecca, worshipping Allah, meditating over Allah's creation. And he did this for days and nights on end. He would do this for days and nights on end. And what's interesting to note here is that the Prophet ﷺ would do this, leaving behind his family, his wife, his children. And yet his wife, Khadija radiallahu anha, not once did she complain that, you know, why are you leaving us? You know, I want you to stay here at home with us. No, not once did she complain. And, you know, this shows us that this is one of the qualities of a righteous wife. That when her husband is busy and he has some, like, very important work to attend to, you know, she should take that into consideration and not complain. Even though here, you know, she could have easily said that, what are you doing? You know, you're not doing anything important. You're just going out there in the wilderness and you're leaving us behind. But, you know, not once did she complain. And so it was in these days that Jibreel came to the Prophet ﷺ with the wahi, the revelation from Allah for the first time. And why do we mention this when it comes to Khadija radiallahu anha? Because the greatest stance that Khadija radiallahu anha ever took in her life was concerning this incident. So let us go through the story. And what's so interesting here is that the one narrating the story is none other than Aisha radiallahu anha. The one narrating the story is Aisha radiallahu anha, who says that there is no woman who she used to be jealous of more than Khadija radiallahu anha, even though she never saw her. Right? We're going to come back to this statement later on. But anyways, what's interesting to note here is that the one narrating this story to us is Aisha radiallahu anha, and she narrates it with full accuracy, not hiding anything just because it was Khadija, right? She did not. She narrated the story to us with full amana and trust. This hadith is in Sahih al-Bukhari, and because of how important it is, Imam al-Bukhari makes it hadith number 3 in his book. In Sahih al-Bukhari, it is hadith number 3. She says, Aisha radiallahu anha says, that in the beginning, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would go into seclusion in the cave of Hira, and he would meditate for nights before coming back to his family. And he would take with him some food, some provision for that retreat, and then he would come back to his wife Khadija, and then again he would prepare food and then go back. He would continuously do this for some time. And then she says that is when the angel came to him in the cave of Hira, and Jibreel said, Iqra, read. And the Prophet ﷺ responded by saying, I cannot read. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells Aisha radiallahu anha, the angel grabbed me and pressed me so hard that I could not bear it anymore. And then he released me and he asked me to read. And I said the same thing, I cannot read. Then it happened again. And again he said, read. And I said, I cannot read. And then finally, the third time, he said, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. And, you know, he mentioned those ayat to him. These were the first verses of the Quran that were revealed. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam returned with his heart beating heavily. He was shaken. This was his first ever encounter with Jibreel. And so he was naturally terrified, not knowing who this was, not knowing what this was. You know, any human being, if this happens to them, they're going to be completely shaken. And so what did he do? Aisha radiallahu anha says, he immediately went back home to his wife Khadija. And he said, Zammiluni, zammiluni, cover me, cover me. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was shivering. He was feeling cold. And this is because he was afraid. He was scared. And fear causes you to shiver. So he was asking his wife to wrap him up. So she covered him up until his fear resided. And after that, he told her everything that had happened. Now, there's something interesting to note here about Khadija radiallahu anha. Most women, if you know their husbands came home terrified like that, they would freak out and they would start asking what happened, right? They'd start responding back. But notice how Khadija radiallahu anha, until this very moment, she does not say a single word. Instead, she quickly went to get him blankets and covered him up as he had requested. Now, the Prophet ﷺ was naturally terrified by what had happened. But in addition to that, he also had a natural dislike for anything that had to do with, you know, the jinn or evil spirits or, you know, witchcraft, things like that. And so he was afraid that what had happened to him was something similar that happens with, you know, people who are possessed by jinn or, you know, a magic spell has been done on him, etc. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained this to his wife. You know, once he calmed down, he said to Khadija radiallahu anha, "I fear for myself. I'm afraid for myself." So Khadija radiallahu anha, immediately she understood what he was saying. She understood what he meant. That this is what I'm afraid of. Right? So this is when she now starts to speak. Right? And I want us to really contemplate and reflect over these words of Khadija radiallahu anha. She said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he said, "I'm afraid for myself," meaning I'm afraid that I have been, you know, possessed by a demon or whatever. So Khadija radiallahu anha, she says, "Kalla wallah, la yukhzik Allahu abada." She says, "Never, by Allah, Allah will never disgrace you." You know, look at the confidence. Look at how she responded. You know, she didn't just sit there and start crying like, you know, other women would do. Start to respond negatively. No. She responded with full confidence. And so she said, "No. By Allah, Allah will never disgrace you." She took an oath. She said, "I say by Allah's name, Allah will never disgrace you." And then she gave the reasons for that. Why? She said, "You keep good relations with your relatives. You help the poor and the destitute. You serve your guests generously. And you assist those who deserve to be assisted, those who are stricken by calamities, etc." So she mentioned these qualities as evidence that a person like this, who has such noble qualities, why would Allah allow something like that to happen to him? So she was basically reassuring him that whatever has happened, it was definitely not something evil or not from shaitan or the jinn, etc. But then she did not suffice with that, right? It's one thing for, you know, your loved ones to give you reassurance, right? Maybe they're just doing that to make you feel good, but they don't mean it, right? So she didn't suffice with that. She then got up and said, "Let's go. I have a cousin who, you know, is well versed in religion." So here she was talking about Waraqa ibn Nawfal, who in the days of Jahiliyyah, he had become a Christian and he used to write the scriptures with Hebrew letters. And he used to write the Injil that was given to Isa alayhi salam. He would write it. He was a scribe. And at this time, he was a very old man. He had lost his eyesight. So they went to Waraqa ibn Nawfal. Khadija said to Waraqa, "My cousin, listen to the story of your nephew." So Waraqa asked him, "What have you seen?" So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him of what he had seen and what he experienced. So Waraqa immediately recognized who this was in the cave with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Based on what? Based on his knowledge. He was a man of knowledge. He had read the scriptures. He knows the qualities of Jibreel and how he comes to the prophets, etc. So Waraqa, right away he said, "This is the same one who keeps the secrets, and Namus," meaning Jibreel, "who Allah had sent to Musa." And then look at what he says. He says, I wish I was young and could live up to the time when your people will drive you out. You know, imagine Waraqa here. You know, he's telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam something that will happen to him that is the sunnah with Allah's messengers. This happens to all of Allah's prophets and messengers. But notice how he didn't say, I wish I was there when you start preaching, right? No. I wish I was there when you need help, right? When your people are going to drive you out. So his main concern was, how can I help him? And that's why he ended up passing away. And the Prophet ﷺ said that he is in Jannah. So even though he did not accept Islam formally, obviously he would have if he was alive. So the Prophet ﷺ was actually baffled by what he said. And he asked, will they really drive me out? You know, imagine, he's just experiencing this weird experience with the angel, and now he's being told that, you know, I'm going to be kicked out of my own hometown by my own people. So Waraqa, he said, yes, anyone who came with something similar to what you have brought was treated with hostility. And if I will remain alive until the day when you are driven out, then I will be there to support you strongly. However, Waraqa ended up passing away just a few days after this. Like literally a few days after this. So, this was a story that Aisha radiallahu anha narrated concerning how the revelation started and how Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam at the age of 40 became a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, what we learn from this story is not only that Khadija radiallahu anha supported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at this difficult moment in his life, but we learned something else. And this is what makes Khadija radiallahu anha special. You know, among all of the other women, this is what makes her special. Who can tell me what it is? You know, not just that she stood there supporting him at a very difficult time, doing everything she could to be that support for him, etc., but something else. Louder. Yes, exactly. She was the first one to believe. She was the very first Muslim on the face of the earth after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so this is something that makes her special. It's not just that, you know, she was his wife and his first wife for that matter, but more importantly, she was the first believer. And that's why when the scholars, they mention the first companions, what do they say? They say, the first among the men was Abu Bakr. The first among the women was Khadija. The first among the young was Ali. The first among the slaves was Zayd ibn Haritha. But if you think about it, the first out of all of these was none other than Khadija radiallahu anha. And not only that, but she was also the first to learn the early teachings of Islam. Like, you know, reciting the Quran, making wudu, how to pray. Because the Prophet ﷺ would receive these teachings from Jibreel. And, you know, the first one to learn them would be Khadija radiallahu anha. And so after that, Khadija radiallahu anha continued supporting the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the difficult days and years ahead, as he confronted his people and his own family members and faced the rejection and the opposition that he did, along with verbal, mental, and physical abuse. She lived all of that. She saw all of that. And, you know, she stood by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, offering whatever assistance that she could. Then in the 10th year of the prophethood, so now 10 years later, so at the age of 40, when the Prophet ﷺ was 40, that would make Aisha radiallahu anha how old? That would make her 55, right? When the Prophet ﷺ was 40, she was 55. So now 10 years later, when the Prophet ﷺ is 50 and she is 65, this 10th year of the prophethood was an extremely difficult year for the Prophet ﷺ. And that's why it's known as Aam al-Huzn, the year of grief. And so it was at this time that the Prophet ﷺ loses his uncle, Abu Talib, who had been a huge support for him in his mission, even though he ended up dying as a kafir, without believing. So now, while the Prophet ﷺ is dealing with this tragic event in his life, you know, the death of his uncle who supported him with his status, Abu Talib, he had a status among Quraysh, he had a reputation. No one could harm the Prophet ﷺ because of Abu Talib. And also financially, he used to help him. Only 2 months after the death of Abu Talib, the beloved wife of the Prophet ﷺ and the person who was dearest to him, Khadija radiallahu anha, she ends up passing away. So we can see now why this year is called the year of grief. And so it was the most tragic time for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because the two most influential people in his life who had supported him and helped him, you know, with his mission, Abu Talib, who offered the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with the physical support that he did, and Khadija radiallahu anha, who supported him with psychological support in addition to financial support due to her business. Suddenly, these two pillars that the Prophet ﷺ was standing on collapsed. And so the Prophet ﷺ, who had, you know, the freedom of going around preaching the message, was now being blocked because his uncle passed away. And when the Prophet ﷺ, who would usually go home to find comfort with his wife Khadija, he would go home to find no one. So it was a very difficult time for him. And, you know, the scholars say that there is a wisdom in this happening at this particular time. And that is so that the Muslims end up having more trust in Allah rather than the message being protected by Abu Talib and supported by Khadija. Now there would be more reliance upon Allah, because there was no one else after these two individuals who would support the Prophet ﷺ in the same way. So this would increase the trust that the Muslims have on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let us conclude with the legacy that Khadija radiallahu anha left behind, and the impact it left on the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Prophet ﷺ really loved Khadija a lot, and he was loyal to her. And so even after her death, he would always mention her in good. And he would send food for her friends. Right? Why? You know, what is this loyalty? What is it based on? It's because Khadija radiallahu anha was there with the Prophet ﷺ through all the thin and the thick. She stood with him when everyone else abandoned him. And this would sometimes cause jealousy among his other wives. And so after her, the most beloved of his wives to him was Aisha radiallahu anha. And, you know, she would talk about that jealousy that she had for Khadija. She says, as we mentioned, that she was never jealous of any of her co-wives except for Khadija, even though she had never seen her. And on one occasion, Aisha radiallahu anha says that she was angered by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam constantly mentioning Khadija, remembering her, right? He would always remember and mention the great times that he had with Khadija. So he noticed that Aisha was, bothered and uncomfortable by that. So he said to Aisha that, her love is something that Allah placed in his heart. And on another occasion, the Prophet ﷺ praised Khadija. So Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Wasn't she an old woman who Allah has replaced you with something that is better?" So the Prophet ﷺ got angry and said, "No, by Allah, he did not replace her with anyone better. She had faith in me when everyone rejected me. She believed in me when the people disbelieved in me. She was comfortable with what she had when the people had denied me. And Allah has blessed me with children from her." And so Khadija radiallahu anha, as we can see, was someone very special. But not only was she someone special to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but she was also someone special in the eyes of Allah, in the sight of Allah. One day, and this was when she was alive, Jibreel came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Khadija is coming to you right now." Basically, Jibreel was telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Khadija, she's coming. She's coming to you right now, and she's carrying some food for you. When she comes to you, tell her that Allah is giving her salam, and tell her that I am also giving her salam." And so that's how special she was. Imagine, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends Jibreel all the way to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to convey Allah's salam to Khadija radiallahu anha. And then Jibreel, he understood how special that is. He said, "Also convey my salam to her." And then Jibreel added, "And give her the glad tidings of a palace in Jannah that is built of qasab, which is pearls or jewels. Within there will be no noise nor fatigue." And so this hadith shows us how special Khadija radiallahu anha was. Also, she was one of the four greatest of women that ever lived. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in a hadith, "The greatest women that ever set foot on the earth are four." They are four. Who are they? Who knows? Okay. You got three right and one wrong. In place of who? Yeah, but in place of who? Because you already mentioned four. Yes. No, not Fatima. In place of Aisha, yes. So the Prophet ﷺ said the four best women to set foot on the earth are Maryam bint Imran, Khadija bint Khuwaylid, Fatima bint Muhammad, and Asiya bint Muzahim. And who is the greatest of all of these four? Maryam, yes. As Allah says in the Quran, وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةِ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. When the angel said, "O Maryam, Allah has chosen you and purified you and chosen you out of all the women of the worlds." So Maryam was the best of them all. Second best would be Khadija. then Fatima, and then Asiya. And what's interesting to note is that all of these women had something to do with a prophet. All of these women had something to do with a prophet. So two of them were the ones who brought up prophets. Who are they? Yes. They gave tarbiyah. They brought up two prophets. So Maryam brought up her son Isa, and Asiya was the one who took care of Musa, even though she was not his mother. And one was the wife of a prophet. Who is that? Khadija, right? And one is the daughter of a prophet, and that is Fatima. All right, we're going to quickly conclude with some of the lessons that we learn from the life of Khadija radiallahu anha. The first lesson that we learn is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose a strong woman like Khadija for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because that is what he needed. Soon he was gonna face trials and difficulties and hardships, and he needed someone strong, a strong woman. You know, if he had married someone younger, she perhaps would not be able to support him like Khadija radiallahu anha did. And not only was she older, but you know, she was wise. She was known for her wisdom and her intelligence, as we have seen, right? We saw how she reacted. And only a wise and intelligent woman can do that. You know, as they say, behind every great man, there is always a great woman. The second lesson that we learn is that the Prophet's choice for Khadija radiallahu anha, who was not a virgin and she was older than him, although he was young, and he could have easily chosen the young women of Mecca. What does this prove and what does it show? It shows us that the Prophet ﷺ was not the kind who was looking to please his worldly desires. In fact, after he became a prophet, when Quraysh had enough of him, they wanted to just, you know, stop him from preaching. They made him an offer in exchange for stopping his da'wah. They said to him, if it is women that you want, then choose whichever of the women of Quraysh you want, and we will marry 10 of them to you. So the options were before him, but he did not have an interest for any of that. In fact, as we mentioned, he did not marry any woman until after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And imagine, even that is after the age of 50, right? He is now after he has passed the age of 50. So all of this shows us that these claims by the enemies of Islam that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a womanizer, he was just after marrying women, and that's why he has so many women that he married, all of these are baseless claims. The third lesson that we learn is an aspect of the personality of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that is his loyalty to the people who were close to him. And so we're talking about years after her death, he would respect her in this way. He would slaughter sheep and he would say, send it for the friends of Khadija. And on one occasion, there was the sister of Khadija. Her name was Hala. She came and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not know if it was her, but he said, "Oh Allah, allow it to be her." Right? Only because he wanted to be reminded of Khadija. So not only did he remember her, but he kept on maintaining, you know, this relationship with her friends. And so there are people out there who are, you know, very opportunists. They would only befriend you to use you, and then once they're done, they'll forget about you. Right? But that is not how our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. And Khadija radiallahu anha is only one example. There are many other examples of people who, you know, really helped out the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam at a time of need, and he would remember them, and he would remain loyal to them. The fourth lesson that we learn is the positive effect of a righteous wife. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went to Khadija and told her what had happened in the cave, and then told her that he was afraid for himself, what was her reaction? You know, look at her reaction. She said, "Never. By Allah, Allah will never disgrace you." So she stood by him and reassured him that everything was going to be fine. And she was trying to calm him down. And, you know, she herself was not freaking out. Not only that, but she also went the extra mile and decided to find out from a scholar of what exactly happened. And so she took her, she took him immediately to her cousin Waraqah. And so all of this shows us the importance of being a strong, righteous wife who will support her husband, especially when he is on the mission of giving da'wah. And finally, the last point that we can mention here, and this is a practical lesson that I want us to, you know, to practically benefit from the stories of the lives of the Sahabiyat. When we go through these stories, you're going to come across qualities of these women that every single Muslimah should strive for. So from the life of Khadija radiallahu anha, we learn the following qualities. Number one, quick to submit. Right? Immediately, without any hesitation, she believed him. And she was, as we said, she was the first to believe. She didn't say, "Well, you know, let me take my time, let me think about it." No, immediately. And this was a case of, this was a case with not only her, but other companions like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. But this is what we learned from Khadija radiallahu anha. Quick to submit. And this is something that, a quality that we should strive for, where when we hear something from Allah or from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the same thing, we should not hesitate. We should submit quickly, right? With no hesitation. We shouldn't say, "Oh well, I need time, I can't do this right now," right? We find from the life of Khadija radiallahu anha that she was quick to submit, and, you know, again, this is the case with many of the companions. Number two, having wisdom and using wisdom and intelligence over emotions and moods. You know, Khadija radiallahu anha did not react with her emotions, which is how most people would react, right? Where her husband is coming terrified like this, she would react emotionally. Right, I mean, most women would probably react emotionally. But Khadija radiallahu anha, she placed wisdom and her intellect over her emotions and her moods. Number three, showing strength in difficult times. Right, which is not easy. It's not easy when you have a very difficult situation to be strong and steadfast. Number four, Khadija radiallahu anha was among the strangers. What do we mean by strangers? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us that Islam began as something strange. Meaning, in the early days of Islam, the Muslims were looked at as strangers. And Khadija radiallahu anha was one of them, but she didn't care if people look at her weird, and if she stands out because she's a Muslimah, right? She didn't care because holding on to Islam was more important and more valuable for her. Likewise, today in the times in which we're living in, it's difficult to practice Islam when everyone around you is not practicing Islam. Right? The Prophet ﷺ mentioned that this day will come. In the same hadith, he said, Islam began as something strange, and it will return to being something strange. Number five, being a support and showing positivity, and not discouraging, nor showing negativity. Again, we see this in how Khadija radiallahu anha, she responded and she reacted. She showed, optimism, right? She was saying that no, it's impossible that, something evil has happened. She used encouraging words, not discouraging words, right? She didn't start to blame him, right? She didn't say, why did you go out to the mountain? You should not have done that. You should not have gone all these nights to the cave. Now, this is as a result of what you did, right? And finally, the last quality that she shows is prioritizing family over personal ambitions. She was a successful businesswoman. And obviously, being devoted to a business requires a lot of time. But when she had a family and she had children, she gave priority to that over her personal ambitions. And this is a quality that every Muslimah should have, where you should prioritize your family over your personal endeavors and your personal ambitions. That should be secondary to your family, because you are now going to be raising an entire generation. And, your children are the first teacher of your children. Whatever they learn, they're going to first learn it from you. And so we need to prioritize that. So these are some of the lessons that we learn from the story of Khadija radiallahu anha. Next week, we're going to move on to Aisha radiallahu anha bi-idhnillah. So we'll conclude here for today, inshallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.